I know it's Wednesday night and it's getting close to Christmas and a lot of people are very, very, very busy. Seems like these last few weeks you got something every night you're supposed to go to and trying to please your family and everything. And so we'll take that into consideration. We'll not try to hold you long tonight. But I got some stuff on my heart that I want to give to you. And if you know somebody that's not here tonight, get this tape and take it to them or send them for not being here if they could have been here. And so what the devil will do, he'll get you out of church little at a time, little at a time. And he ain't going to just come up one day and say, quit church. He gets you up little at a time. And that's why it's so important to make an effort to be here every service, because if you miss one, you think, well, that didn't hurt me. You miss another, no big deal. First thing you know, you're out. I've seen a lot of people get out like that. So don't take no chances. Get in here every time you can. I talked last week about prayer, and I want to do that again tonight because I think we need to pray. And I know we pray, and I know you pray, and I pray, but once in a while we need to crack down and pray harder. It's just like we're in a fight. We're in a ball game. It's like football. And, you know, the football team has to get in a huddle once in a while and say, listen, man, they're killing us. Let's right back, and they get rally around, you know, and the coach fires them up, and boy, they pat each other on the back and say, all right, let's regroup ourselves, you know, and go and hit it harder and see if we can make a touchdown. That's what church got to do. Sometimes we just have to say, man, boy, the devil's just beating us to death. We need to regroup and fire back at him. Amen? So that's what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to give you a story from the Bible. Everybody listen, pay attention. And chapter 12 is this story. This is one of the most unusual stories in the whole New Testament, and one of the greatest miracles in the New Testament. And I'm going to do something I very rarely do. I want you to keep your Bible open, and we're going to go through it just verse by verse. I don't have an outline. I don't have any notes, but I have studied. I've been praying about this all day, and God's put this on my heart. And so it's a little bit scarier for a preacher to do what I'm doing now, because I think, my goodness, what if I can't think of all that stuff I had today? I'm going to trust the Lord that He'll give me what we need tonight. I want us to get down to business and pray harder. Between now and Sunday, everybody here try to spend some more time in prayer. Prayer is the way every church gets through its battles. I know that a lot of churches try other methods. I know churches that have financial problems, and the way they solve their financial problems, they figure out everybody, get everybody selling candy bars, and they get everybody doing this and doing that. And the Lord never has given me the freedom in my heart to do stuff like that. I've always thought if we'll get on our knees and we'll pray and we'll preach and be what we're supposed to, the Lord knows our bills and He'll pay them. Now, I want to give you some encouragement before I read some of this story. Everybody listening? This will encourage you. Last Wednesday night, before the supper at the steakhouse, I got up here and I had like a little 20-minute lesson, and I said, let's pray harder. Remember, I said, let's pray harder between now and Sunday. And I can't remember. We did come to the altar, didn't we? We did come to the altar last Wednesday night, because I know there's several visitors here with us. And we came to the altar and we prayed. And we prayed for our church and our building, that the Lord, you know, started moving, get it to moving. And the very next day, Thursday morning, I got a phone call on Thursday the next morning. That's not the first time this has happened. Other time we got real serious with God and we prayed, something happened like the next day. And next day I got a phone call. It was a man in Texas that I've been talking to about some pews. And, you know, we've been looking on, there's a thing called usedpews.com where they have churches change pews out and put new ones in and stuff. And we've been looking on it for about 4 or 5 months now for the right deal. We found a bunch of pews for sale, and but it was like it'd be 20, it'd be 30, it'd be 18, it'd be 9. If they were the right length, there wasn't enough of them. We found a bunch of them that was just like 70 pews. There's big churches, but they were fan-shaped. You know, every one of them was a different length, going out like, you know, they go out like that and out like that. So we couldn't use that. And we needed 60 pews. I figured up our building. We'd have 4 rows of 15 each. And I said, we need 60 pews, about 15 long, anywhere from 14 to 16. Well, we could probably make them work. And a guy called me Thursday. He said, I got what you're looking for. And so we began to talk to him. You know, we met with the men about it Sunday night. And I don't think that was an accident. I don't. We prayed about it Wednesday night, and brother, the next day he called. He said they're not on the internet yet, and they're in a First Baptist church in Clearwater, Florida. And that was a blessing. Because I've been telling people, I said, we need to find something out of a First Baptist church. And for obvious reason, you know, not used. And I figured, really, I mean that. I thought, I don't want one where they've been just completely wore out. And I said, if we can find one in a First Baptist, you know, there'll be a few of them. But I'll bet you the first 10 rows never sat on. That's the way they do. They sit about middle ways to halfway back, and nobody sits in the front. You know how they do at those big churches. Well, it's Dunedin, Florida, where it's right outside of Clearwater. And we began to talk to him. I've been dealing with a guy all week, and we bought him. We bought him a while ago and sent him a check in the mail, and a tractor and trailer is going to pick him up tomorrow in Florida and bring him here, and they're going to put him in our building. And they are very, now we might want to color them or cover them, because gold, and I'm not sure we can, you know, want that color, but we can refinish them and put, you know, padding on it. Wesley's daddy owns the foam and fabric store, and I talked to him last night about getting us stuff. He said he'd get it all at his cost and whatever we want to cover them. But these pews are made out of mahogany. They're even nicer than oak. I mean, that's like the nicest wood you can get. They're mahogany. I mean, the First Baptist Church had them, and they built a new church. They just moved out. And so they're selling everything in it, and so there was 60 of them, and there was exactly the number we prayed for, exactly. We wanted them on the East Coast, you know. Some of them was in Texas and California. Chris has been looking for them on the internet, and these were in Florida. And Wesley got a little truck that would go by and pick them up, and they're going to pick them up tomorrow. And for $690, we're getting them brought here and putting them in. And so. We're going to have, we've got $6,800 in 60 pews. Just to let you know, how different that is. I Jude the guy down about $800, and that's as far as I could get him down. I told him we needed the money, and we didn't have a whole lot to waste and everything. But to give you a comparison, for $6,840, new ones just like it would be around $60,000. So they're $1,000 a piece. So, even if we have them recovered and everything, we'll still be way in good shape. And so that's an answer to prayer. I believe that. That's an answer to prayer. And so we're going to do that again tonight. We're going to pray about the building permits and all this stuff that's holding us back and the money and the parking lot and everything. And I want us to do that. I heard Dr. Ruckman say that before. He said, when a church is in battles, anytime you're in battles with the government or the city, we call them guys inspectors. He said, "You win battles like that on your knees," and I believe that God's able to work things out. And so we're going to pray about it tonight. And I'm going to read you a story here about it. I'm excited about our pews, y'all. I know a lot of folks want our chairs. They say these chairs sit better than pews, but the pews, you know, are stable and they don't get knocked around every time anybody moves. And we can use these in Sunday school. And so I'm excited about it. Amen. We're going to have pews. Amen. Yes, sir. And they'll be nice, too. But anyway, let's continue to pray about that. Pray they'll get here. And I'm going to need as many men as we can get. If any of you guys can help unload them things. Now, they're took apart, so they're not heavy. They're all took apart. The ends, just the flat seats in the back. And just carry them in the building. We're going to cover them up with plastic so we won't have to move them twice and just leave them over there at the new church. So I don't know if it'll be Friday, Saturday, or Monday, but we're going to need to send and unload them. And I'll be gone Friday and Saturday, and he's going to call me. I'm going to call Brother Lloyd and my Brother James and any of you other guys that possibly could help unload. Let me know tonight, and I'll give you a call. And it'd probably take maybe about an hour to unload them and set them in the church. It's not a back-breaking job. Because they're took apart, you know, maybe 50, 60 pounds, them seat, the backs and stuff. So if some of you guys could help with that, I'd sure appreciate it. All right, in Acts chapter 12, we're just going to study this for a few minutes. There's a situation here where a church had a problem. And the problem was the devil got the preacher and throwed him in jail. And his old Peter and brother, they prayed him out. They prayed him out. And everybody knows this story. I believe God put these stories in the Bible facing similar circumstances that we can pray our way through. Now, I'm not in jail tonight. I ain't planning on going. And I ain't done nothing illegal except break speed limit. And they don't throw you in jail for that unless you're going over 100, and I don't do that. Unless I'm in a very big hurry. I started feeling guilty there. But I ain't done that in a long time, really. You shouldn't do that. That ain't right. But I ain't planning on going to jail, but sometimes I feel like the devil just gets me tied up, or hands tied. You ever feel like you just had, I've heard people say, just my hands are tied right now. And boy, you feel like that sometimes. And so let's look at this story here in Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. Now keep your Bibles open because we're just going to get verse by verse. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. That would be the devil. Herod the king would represent the devil. The devil once in a while says, I'm going to vex that church. I'm going to mess with them people. And he killed James, brother John, with the sword. My soul. He got him completely out. The devil once in a while says, I'm going to vex shining light. And sometimes he'll reach in one and just get them out completely. Knock them completely out. Now, notice what else. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, that's them jealous religious people, they love to see trouble in the church, he proceeded further to take Peter also, then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, that would be Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Not teaching on this, but if you got a Bible that don't say Easter there, you got the wrong Bible. That's the King James Bible's right. The NIV is wrong. All right, verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Now, here's what I want you to look at. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The people got down and they prayed for their pastor. And they prayed without ceasing. Boy, I tell you what, I'll guarantee you, old Peter was thankful for that crowd. I'm telling you, if I could have anything in the world for Christmas, I would ask that y'all pray for me. Pray for me. I mean, you say, Brother Danny, what do you want for Christmas? Really, I'm going to get down about an hour and beg God to just hold me where I need to be and give me what I need to have, feel me where I need to be filled. Pray that God will keep me where I need to be. Listen, old Peter was in jail. He was like this, had his hands tied, throwed up against the wall. And boy, I bet he thought, man, I hope they're praying for me. I hope they ain't voted me out. I hope half the church ain't quit, went somewhere else. I hope, Lord have mercy, I hope they ain't forsook me. They could have got down there and said, gosh, I'm embarrassed of our pastor. Done got himself thrown in jail. He should know better than to go out street preaching like that and everything. Got himself in jail. It's embarrassing. These rabbis and stuff don't get thrown in jail. I just don't know. He wasn't in the will of God, or Lord wouldn't let stuff like that happen to him. Well, the truth was, he was in the will of God. He was God's man. Now, tell you something. If God's got a man, he's always God's man. There'll never be a time when he won't be God's man. Every man in the Bible that God put his hand on, God's hand was on that man till he died. But he may have to go in sideways. He may go in crippled. But if God's got his hand on a man, he's going in. He'll finish the job. And so Peter, they prayed for him, and they prayed for him. Now, Peter wasn't even out to organize them prayer meetings. It's like I was telling you about the other night. I think I was telling Brandon about it the other night. Sometimes I feel like a quarterback, and the quarterback has only like 2 seconds to make up his mind a lot of times. Maybe not even that long sometimes. He may have less than 2 seconds, but probably a maximum of what, 5 seconds? You guys that watch football? Probably a maximum of 5 seconds, buddy. And I mean, there's 10,000 people screaming their lungs out, millions of watts of lights, big goons about that wide coming at you, full speed, and you got like 3 seconds. You can hand it off, throw it, or go try to run it, or whatever. And boy, I'm telling you, sometimes he just gets creamed. I mean, smack. Can you imagine how he feels when they piled in on top of him? Them guys weigh 300 pounds sitting on top of him. I bet he thinks, I don't like my job right now. But he stands up. But boy, if he ever throws a good touchdown, that makes it worth it. And sometimes he needs them guys to block for him. He needs them guys to block for him. And he can't do nothing without them guys blocking for him. And I guess that's what Peter had here. He had some Peter blocking for him. That's what I need. I need. Sometimes I act all tough and everything. I act like I don't need nothing or nobody. But I'm telling you, I need some people to block for me. I need y'all to block for me, man. I need y'all to smack and say, Lord, keep the demons off of him. Keep the devil off of him. Keep the demons off of him. And that way I can throw a touchdown and your kid might catch it. And your kid might be the one that makes a touchdown and gets saved. And so we work together like a team. That's what's on my heart, folks. That's what's on my heart. We need to pull together as a church, every one of us. We don't need little groups here and little groups there. All of us need to bind together like one big football team and say, there's the enemy, and put our shoulders together and fight it. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Amen.
Amen. Ladies, y'all can be good blockers. I tell you, I'd rather have a gang of ladies sincerely right with God praying for me than about anybody I know. I call Miss Kerr, she's a blocker for me. She's always been one. And I called her the other day when I was preaching down in South Carolina. I said, pray. I'm going to call her again tomorrow and say, pray, sister. I'm going down to Rick's for revival. And we need to do that. The Bible said prayer was made without ceasing. Without ceasing. They didn't quit. They didn't give up. They said, our pastor's in jail. God, get him out. God, something. God, help us. God, help us. His hands are tied. Like right now, I feel like my hands are tied on this building. I hate that feeling. I hate it. I had three preachers ask me this week, how's things going on your building? I said, terrible. They're not going. I said, we're waiting until January on permit. Listen, I believe if we pray hard enough that God in heaven is able to get that thing moving. I mean, it's sitting over there. We're paying the payments. Everything's ready. We're ready to go to work. We know what to do. We got our plans made. We're just waiting on all the bureaucracy and the legal work. And I'm telling you, well, if we'll pray, I believe the Lord's able to open that thing up. He's able to open up a hole where we can take the ball and run through it and make a touchdown. So as soon as Christmas is over, we're going to try to have some more Saturday night prayer meetings. We talked about having some men's prayer meetings. And we've also talking about our watch night service. And then we'll try to have something special maybe toward the end of January or February, special meetings or something like that. The Lord will get that thing moving. I mean, I've been patient with this. I mean, we've waited since June, and that's hard for me to do. But I'm telling you, enough's enough. I want to see it move. Old Gene Gooch told me, he said, boy, you're in Burke County. He said, you ain't seen nothing yet. He said, we're bound to get a building built for like 3 or 4 years. He said, you just wait. I said, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear. Lord have mercy. We've got plans, got them approved in Raleigh and built whole buildings in 10 months before. So, I mean, but it's a whole new world, whole new world. So let's pray. And I'm going to ask you men to block. Like football players. What do you call them dudes that do them blocking? Blockers? Linemen? Linemen. That's a good name. We need some linemen. L-I-O-N. Linemen, like David's mighty men. You know, David had them mighty men. And one of them dudes went down in a pit and slew a lion in a snowy day. But I tell you, them was some tough men. And you know what, Shining Light Baptist Church, we got a bunch of godly, dedicated women. We need some men that'll put their shoulder to the grinder, brother, and say, all right, Brother Danny, here, let's go with it. Let's go! Amen? And get the job done. Amen? And that prayer was made without ceasing. Look at verse 6. But when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Had him all tied up with them permits. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And a light shined. That's a shining light right there. Shining light in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. I like that. I like that. He's laying there asleep. And they got the victory over at the church. And the angel comes down and smote him on the side. Kicked him or something. Said, get up, Peter. Get up. Get up. It's time to go. And his chains fell off. His chains fell off. That's why I'm feeling, I feel like we're trying to get the building built and can't do nothing. We need to pray that them chains will just fall off. Amen. And the devil tries to chain me up. He knows if he can chain me up, we can stop the whole progress of the church. And so they prayed, the light shining, he smote him on the side and said, get up. Verse 8, and the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. He put his jacket on there, a coat, whatever it was, and he went out and followed him. Wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel. He thought he saw a vision. Peter couldn't even believe it. He couldn't believe it. Then they come out of the prison, and watch this, verse 10. And they were past the first and second ward. They came to the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. That was before they invented electric doors. Isn't that something? They had an iron gate and it locked, and they come walking up like that, and that thing went. That's what people think, the idea for them things. I don't know. Walmart's got them. Everywhere's got them now. You just step on there, and the door opens. Let me show you something. They didn't have to beat that door. They didn't have to take crowbars and bust it loose. That battle wasn't won physical strength. They didn't say, all right, let's all get together and beat this thing and we'll knock this door open. Peter, we'll get you out of here. Brother, God opened that door. And I'm going to tell you something. Shining Light Baptist Church, we're in a war. We're in a war against the devil, against this world. They hate us. They hate our kids. They hate your family. They don't want your marriage to work out. They want to bust up husbands and wives. They hate our guts. And brother, our battle is not going to be won with our fist. Our battle is not going to be won with guns and knives. Our battle is won on our knees. It's won on our knees. Every church that's ever got anywhere for God, they won it on their knees. The battle is going to be on our knees. All you young people, you can pray. You teenagers, you can pray. You moms and dads, you can pray. Husbands and wives, before you go to sleep at night, say, let's pray for our church. Let's pray for Brother Danny. Let's pray for them. Let's pray. That's how battles are won. And that's what we need to do. We can't just sit back. We can't just sit back and just show up when we want to and say, well, I wish things was going better at the church. We know why it's not. You know what a church has? Churches have what they want to have. If people are hungry for God and want something good, they'll have it. If they don't care if it's dead, it'll be dead. I guarantee you, brother, God don't love one group more than He loves another group. Churches are on fire because they want to be on fire. Churches have blessings because they're hungry for blessings. Churches don't have blessings because they don't care if they have any or not. And if you don't care if you have any or not, you ain't going to have none. You know why? I said that a minute ago, and I didn't mean to be critical about most big town churches are deader than 4 o'clock. They really are. You know why? That's what they want. That's what they want. Now, if you walked up and said you want a dead church, they'd say, of course not. But they got it just like they want it. Everything's sort of in place, and nobody rocks the boat. A friend of mine, the other day I was talking to him, South Carolina, he said he's going to a big, nice Baptist church. And he said, Brother Dan, it's a good church. He said, our pastor loves the Lord, but the pastor's been there 40 years, and the church has been paid for 50 times, and it's a big church, and it's a good church, and they love God, and their doctrine's straight, and they're straight as a stick morally. I mean, walk a straight life, live a straight life, and all that. But he said, Brother Danny, it's just turned into a big thing of just social money. He said, they still preach the Bible and everything. He said they pay their piano player $60,000 a year. Piano player. You just forget it. You just forget it. I'll learn how to play if we're going to pay $60,000 a year. I can't imagine the preacher even getting paid $60,000 a year. $60,000 plus a car allowance for the piano player. Piano player. And he's talking to Brother Larry Brown. Some of y'all know Brother Larry Brown. And he said, Brother Larry, what do you think about that? He said, you know how Larry Brown is. He said, a woman gets paid $60,000 to play 9 songs. He said, how can she get paid to play 9? He kept saying 9 songs. 3 Sunday morning, 3 Sunday night, and 3 Wednesday night. That's a pretty good job, ain't it? That's a pretty good job. Of course, she does other things, does stuff and gets musicals together and does fool around, does a music program. Pastor makes 120. And he don't knock his brains out neither. He just shows up Sunday morning, Sunday night. And a lot of these churches have, and I mean, more power to them. If they got that kind of money, their offering's like $30,000 a week. And more power to them. Hallelujah. I don't care. I don't care what they pay them. That's none of my business. And that's what they want. And the Lord's happy with it. That's fine with me. But I'm going to tell you something. A lot of churches like that, the services are dead. And the reason they're dead is because that's what they want. If listen, you say, well, Brother Danny, I want our church to really... Okay, how bad we want it? We want it bad enough? God will give us what we want. God will give us. You don't have to worry about not being in His will. We don't have to worry about saying, Lord, if it's your will, save souls and bless our church. Are you kidding? You don't even have to ask Him, is it His will? It is His will to bless a church, cause grow, prosper, and souls will be saved. So I'm calling on everybody here tonight. Let's pray. Let's really, really pray. Let's read a little bit more here. He didn't even think it was true. Look at the bottom part of verse 10. And they went out and passed on through one street. An angel departed from him. He went as far as he needed to go, and he went on back to glory, wherever he's come from that night. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent His angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod. That would have liked the devil. And from all the expectation of the people of Jews, he said, they thought they had me. That crowd thought they had me. They thought they had me snuffed out. They threw me in prison. They tied me up. And they thought, we're done with him. Never have to listen to him again. But you know what happened? That church prayed for that man. That church prayed for that man. God brought him out. And he didn't have nothing to do with it. Peter didn't even fight his way out. It don't say anything about him struggling and trying to get them chains off of him. That's in the flesh. We don't wrestle with flesh blood. It don't say anything about Peter saying, if I got enough willpower, God, brother, God got him out of there. And listen, if we get through this moving process and get in that new building, and God, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be God that does it. It ain't me, it ain't my personality, it's not our money, it's not our wisdom. We got men in here can do all kinds of things. Bill, we got roofers and electricians and plumbers and everything. But that's not what's going to do it. It's God that's going to do it. A thousand people started trying to build churches and fell through. I know one up in Maryland where they got a big new building sitting outside, and they started it nearly 8 or 9 years ago. And people quit coming to church, and attendance fell off, and they got about 60 people on Sunday morning, and a new building sitting out there half finished, and they can't even pay the payments on it. It takes God to do that. It takes the Lord to do it. But if you don't think that can happen here, you got another thing coming. The devil don't want this place here. The devil don't want us to have a church. We've got to want it. We've got to put our shoulders together and say, bless God, we're going to fight and we're going to see this thing through. And brother, we're going to get the job done. And then we can rejoice and shout when God brings the victory. Amen. All right. Look at here. Verse 12. And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Now it's going to get funny here, and then I ain't going to talk much longer. Where many were gathered together praying, they still in there praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. She should have kept on praying, but she's maybe about to have been a little carnal, and got up and answered the door. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Now stop right there. Here's what's happened. God miraculously delivered her out of jail. He got over there. The angel went back. He come to himself. He said, man, God got me out. God got me out. Let's go to church. See what's going on. And everybody's in there just praying, oh God. Oh God, get Peter out. Oh God, we need our preacher. God, please. Don't let them tie him up no more. God, please. God, get him out of jail. About that time, Peter knocks at the door. One girl named Rhoda comes and says, who is it? He said, it's Peter. Open up. And boy, she heard his voice and said, glory to God. Hallelujah. God's answered her prayers. Peter. Now, look what happened. This is so crazy. Look what happened. Verse 15. And they said unto her, thou art mad. You've lost your mind, girl. Peter's in jail. Ain't that? That's a Baptist. They must have been Baptist. Amen. But she constantly affirmed that it was so. They said, nah, it's his angel. It's a ghost. It's his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they'd opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. They're over, oh God, please get him, oh God, please get him out, oh God, please get him out. She comes and say, God got him out. No, you're crazy. He did not. Thou art mad. Ain't that the way it is? Ain't that the way it is? You know what? We'll pray. We'll pray. We'll get through these battles we're in right now. We'll get through these little bumps and rolling through right now. We'll pray. We'll get moved in over there. God will bless. And there'll be a lot of people saying, nah, the Lord didn't do this. You know that Danny Castle. He can get anything done. I'm so sick of hearing that. I can't do nothing without the Lord. We need to give the glory where the glory belongs. They said, the Lord didn't do this. The Lord answered their prayers and they didn't even realize it. I want these little kids in here. Man, I was looking at them Sunday night. We got a good little bunch of kids in here. They's all circled around right here. I'm telling you, didn't they look plumb sweet? They really did. It was really... And God gets a building. And I remember my pastor stood up and said, our hands are tied, let's pray. And God, the angel of the Lord came, and his chains fell off, and we moved in a new building, and the bus ministry was blessed, and my uncle got saved, and all that. I want them kids to grow up saying, God did that. God did that. God did. You cannot get anything else any more important in a kid's heart than them to grow up saying, God did something at my church when I was growing up. And I want to see him do it again. Amen? That's what's happened to some of you. God did something when you was young, and you never have got over it. God did something to me when I was 18, and I never have got over it. I'm telling you. So let's pray. And I'm going to finish reading this, and we're going to pray. But he beckoned unto them with a hand to hold their peace, verse 17, declared how the Lord brought him out of prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. And as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. I bet they wasn't. What was become of Peter? I mean, there was the gate, chains laying there, and he was gone. They said, man, we can't, God, the world can't hold a man down that God's in a church and we're all together praying and getting the job done. The world can't stop. There ain't enough demons to stop a man and a church where people are praying, and God, he's going in front of them knocking away. I was talking about you men blocking for me. Like I'm the quarterback and we need some linemen to block. Buddy, when the Lord's blocking for you, you're in good shape. And I've always wondered about them ball games. Sometimes I wonder if the Lord has anything to do with them, and I really don't think he does, but sometimes it seems like he does. You know? Sometimes, like that basketball will go up there and it'll bounce around that rim, and sometimes it just don't win. And then sometimes it does. And there's lots of money riding on whether that thing goes in or not. Sometimes I think the Lord just goes over and goes, ding, knocks it in. I don't know if he does that or not. But it seems like it. Does anybody, y'all ever think about stuff like that? Or it's down, you know, I mean, maybe he throws it too hard and the Lord just slows that ball down and the guy catches it. Maybe some old grandma up there praying about it. I don't know. He might not even fool with it. But he probably ain't really interested in who wins, but he's involved in people's lives. And he's able to help you. He's able to help you get that raise at work. I mean that. He is. How many of you, anybody in here like to have a raise on your job? Okay. Everybody in here wants a raise? I'll vote you get one. If you vote, I'll get one. No, I'm just kidding. That's him. No, I'm serious. I don't want one. I do not. No, I'm serious. I'm just kidding. But I'd pray for you to get. I'd pray for everybody in here to get a raise. I mean that. Yeah. You need a job first. They come our offerings very big the first Sunday in the month. That's when all them checks come in. But anyway, I'm praying everybody in here get a raise. Do it. Pray. Somebody said, well, that's wicked to pray for a raise. No, it ain't neither. Say, Lord, I need to pay my bills and my final expenses. Pray for it. Yeah, Lord, give it to you. Let's pray that everybody in here get a raise. I sound like a charismatic for sure then. But I mean, there ain't nothing wrong with that. You got to prosper your business, advance you. I believe God's people needs to do better and give their money and be a witness and stuff like that. I believe that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I know people that started out church and didn't have nothing. And over the years, the Lord blessed them, and the Lord blessed them, and the Lord blessed them. They finally got financially, you know, pretty well off. So let's pray about all them things. Okay? All right? I'm going to stop right there tonight. We're going to pray. So Desi, if you'll come.